Old Navy's kicking off the holidays in style with 40% off everything. That's right, everything on your list is on sale now. Get 40% off every pair of jeans, 40% off all sweatshirts and all hoodies, even 40% off all outerwear. Get 40% off all the holiday gifts they want at a price you want. 40% off everything at Old Navy and OldNavy.com now. Hurry in or miss out. Valid 11/14 to 11/19 excludes gift cards, today only and two-day only deals, gift of the week, clearance, register lane items, Zip Zap stuff, and jewelry. Old Navy's kicking off the holidays in style with 40% off everything. That's right, everything on your list is on sale now. Get 40% off every pair of jeans, 40% off all sweatshirts and all hoodies, even 40% off all outerwear. Get 40% off all the holiday gifts they want at a price you want. 40% off everything at Old Navy and OldNavy.com now. Hurry in or miss out. Valid 11/14 to 11/19 excludes gift cards, today only and two-day only deals, gift of the week, clearance, register lane items, Zip Zap stuff, and jewelry.
Here it comes again. Lunch. Will it be the same old? Or are you ready to take a vacation from the ordinary with the new Jamaican Jerk Turkey Sub at Firehouse Subs? Freshly sliced smoked turkey breast, craveably sweet mustard sauce, and a hint of Caribbean seasoning. Just $5.55 for a medium. Save time. Order the new Jamaican Jerk Turkey Sub on the Firehouse Subs app. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Participating locations, limited time only, plus tax. Prices may vary for delivery.
Hi, welcome to this Subway ad for the new ciabatta collection. How do you want it?
Ooh, I'll take the slam poetry.
Sure.
Italian ciabatta with fresh mozzarella. When hunger reigns, you're my flavor umbrella. Tasty garlic steak and provolone. With you, my taste buds are never alone. Savory chicken pesto, you have my affection. For you complete the ciabatta collection. Thank you. That was the new ciabatta collection by Subway. Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Hey folks, Dierks Bentley here. If you've seen one of my concerts, you know I'm all about energy. Performing, recording, traveling, being a husband and a father, it's a busy life, and I need to be 100% every day. So when my battery starts running low, I grab a sugar-free, vitamin-packed 5-hour energy shot. It tastes great, and it gets me back to 100% fast. Try it. It could work for your busy life too. For more information, visit 5hourenergy.com.
Ellen's all new with Penelope Cruz, plus co-host of the CMA Awards, Carrie Underwood.
Of course, CMA stands for Cowboys Making Albums, and that's not true.
Ellen, today at 3 on NBC4.
High school football's in full swing, but could get sacked in some local schools. With thousands of local kids bailing on the sport, the News 4i team showing you why Friday night lights are flickering in the DMV.
I don't know if it'll be 10 years from now.
Tonight on News 4 at 11.
Begin stage one.
Hello, 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 and welcome to a new episode of the Liquid Gamer Podcast. My name is Ryan.
And I'm Owen.
Now, that's not the name you usually hear after mine.
No, it's not.
Every episode we talk about video game history. I usually do it with Dante. Dante was unable to make the trip to Columbus. We went to Kosai, Owen and I, yesterday. We got to sample the Game Masters exhibit, which was amazing.
It was.
It really, I mean, like, the way it's put together is what makes it so amazing. If it was just a room full of
video games.
I mean, you know, ooh, okay. But the way it's laid out and the way it's presented just really makes it, I don't know, it's kind of, you know, it feels like it means a lot. You know what I mean?
A lot of different people with a lot of different interests can find something in that.
Right, and we noticed that throughout the exhibit. I mean, like, you saw a lot of younger kids, like, they flock to games that they own at home or things that they grew up with or, like, really, really retro stuff, which was located in Stage 1, which will be this episode's main focus, which is Arcade Heroes. Now, that will be the first exhibit, so, like, if you go to Kosai, let's say this weekend coming up or even during the week... you go to Kosai, you go upstairs, and when you enter Game Masters, the first thing you're going to do, you're going to go to Arcade Heroes, and there you're going to have some classic systems, and they're all on the original, you know, hardware and the cabinets that you know and love, and it's really just, you know, it's just awesome. I don't really know what to compare it to. What would you compare it to?
Tron.
Yeah.
Like Kevin Flynn's arcade.
Exactly like Kevin Flynn's arcade. It actually has the same kind of color scheme. It's just black, and then you got these glass panels. We had a lot of fun in Arcade Heroes. One of the first machines that we came across was Donkey Kong. Probably the most popular system there.
Yeah, probably the most well-known of the retro games, I would say.
Yeah, I agree.
Centipede.
Yeah, Centipede, of course, was there, along with Asteroids. I never played most of these games with their original hardware.
Mm-hmm.
And that was actually one of the coolest parts for me, is like, I've played Donkey Kong, right? And I've played Asteroids, and I've played Elevator Action. But I never played them with what they were designed to
with,
be
like,
played.
The dongle controls.
Right. Because,
yeah.
I mean, what was that game we played with the two? It had two joysticks for one player.
Oh, yeah.
And you had to, like, what was it?
It was, like, one control
the Robotron?
Was used for,
was it
I think so.
Yeah, Robotron.
One control was used for actually shooting the gun, what direction the gun fired in, and then the other control was used for actually navigating the character.
Right, and that's Robotron 2084, and it was, like, it's wild.
Yeah.
To know that, like, when these games came out in the 80s, like, that was, you know, I'm sure it was innovative, I would think, but it's something to get used to. It takes a little bit. And I think that's kind of why Donkey Kong had the longest line, is because it's a little bit more translatable to what we know as joystick games now. But that game, like, I can't even imagine a home console version.
I think about
like Geometry Wars, right?
Yeah, Geometry Wars. Yeah, if you have Xbox 360 or PlayStation, it's a game that you can get from their marketplaces. And they've got different versions of it. But yeah, Geometry Wars is sort of the same concept of you have all these different things coming at you, and you have your little ship, and one stick on your controller controls the gun and what direction it shoots in. The other one actually controls the movement of the ship itself.
Yeah. And I saw a lot of inspiration from these games in the Arcade Heroes Stage 1 exhibit into modern games.
Yeah, a lot of the shapes and one of the other games that we got really into.
Yeah, we're going to showcase one game from each part of the exhibit at the end of the episode. There was one game that just totally blew our minds for some reason. And when I got home, like, I was looking everywhere online, like, where I can get it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was able to find, but it's one of those, you know, like, it has like 80 games on it kind of thing. And it's not with the real joystick, but we'll get into that when we get there. Elevator Action. I want to talk about Elevator Action because I have not played that game in so long, and it was really cool to experience it again. I remember when it was re-released on the Game Boy, and this was while I was in high school. It was in the year 2000.
The year 2000.
And Elevator Action, even then, was cool to me, but I did remember playing it. So you have a 30-story building, right? And the goal is to get from the roof to the bottom. And I had to...
But there's, like, dudes trying to shoot you. So.
Right. I marked at least 20 guys.
Yeah.
Just getting off the elevator and back on the next level's elevator.
It's kind of like The Raid.
Right. if The Raid was a movie, it's Elevator Action. Obviously.
Or a video game. If The Raid was a video game, it would be Elevator Action.
Right, it's Elevator Action. Just need masks on everybody. That came out in 1983. So, you know, I obviously wasn't old enough to play it when it came out. I'm not that old. I am old, but not that old. There is jumping, there's kicking, there's shooting.
Mm-hmm.
But besides our showcase game, I think that was the game that I enjoyed the most. What about you? What game stood out besides the one we're going to talk about?
Showcase? I found a new appreciation for Asteroids. I was the same way. I've never played it on, like, an actual, I don't know, what are the old school units called?
Cabinet.
Cabinet, yeah. A cabinet gaming system. I've never played it on that. I've only ever played it on, you know, a game board or something like that. And I couldn't do it, man. Like, that was that
game. I don't know why you couldn't do it.
Yeah, I found that game to be impossible with the ball and the thing would never stop. Oh, no, no, it's like one button controls the thrust. But it's like an actual spaceship. Like, the thrust goes
in one direction.
Yeah, it's
like a wheel.
Yeah, and it's the controlling the ship was ridiculous for me. And then Missile Command was one that I dug.
Just, you know, Missile Command was shocking.
Yeah, just like, because of Terminator 2.
That's why?
Yeah, because there's a scene in Terminator 2 where John Connor is playing in an arcade, and he's playing Missile Command, and Missile Command ultimately uses a metaphor for him in the future.
Right.
But I was obsessed with that game, and yeah, so that was fun to use.
So the way that game worked, I mean, it had a rollerball and then three little buttons, tiny buttons. And then you had to, you know, control, like,
yeah, each button corresponded crosshair with
a different base.
A different base, yeah.
It's pretty intense.
Yeah, and then your ball controls the crosshair. Pretty much, you have planes that are dropping bombs and missiles that are coming towards your bases, and you have to move your cursor to intercept those barrages of missiles with your own missiles. And you only have, I want to say, like 10 missiles per base. So you have to be careful with how many you use.
Ran out.
And your explosions have a particular radius. So as long as that radius encompasses the missile, you're good. But it's about timing, and it's about, you know, the proximity and moving that ball.
Yeah, the ball was really what I... Yeah, because, I mean, one time I'm pushing it, I sent the missile from the wrong base several times. But that's part of the challenge with that game.
And it's like, I can only imagine cats in, like, the 80s just... Oh, and, you know, just... You
like
know, cause
keeping track of how
yeah,
many
there's,
missiles.
There's always, you know, with gaming, there's always those people who are high-level gamers who are just really good at it. And I remember, you know, when I used to arcade game when I was younger, that there were some games that I dominated at. And it was always fun to watch those kids who, you know... And that was something that was cool about the exhibit as well, that I don't even know if it was intentional. But there's a whole cultural aspect to, like... arcade gaming and just the way that people interact with each other in that atmosphere. And I remember the kids who were good at, like, Mortal Kombat or good at particularly difficult games, and they would draw a crowd, and there would be those people who would walk into the arcade. If you were a regular, there'd be those people who would, like, come in and, like, real quick set up on this one machine, and yeah, you would draw a crowd of people who would come just to watch you play and sort of the arcade superstars.
Yeah.
And that was really cool to see, because I think, you know, these millennials, the younger set of millennials.
Right, because we're still millennials.
Yeah, we're still millennials, but we're the old ones. We're Gen 1 millennials. All the new generation millennials, they don't really, I don't think they have that experience. Like, their gaming experience is very different.
It's done through the network. It's done, you know, via, we at least had LAN parties that...
Right.
Put you in the same building with somebody.
Yeah.
But, because it was great. Like, in college, we always had LAN parties. Using our cables, we could actually play with anybody in the complex. And it was cool back then. But now everybody's playing over, you know, most of your people you're playing are in different countries.
Yeah.
Which is great. You know, it gets you cultured. But you're not stacking quarters on their Xbox.
Well, like, I got next, you know.
Next.
And becoming that, you know, cool kid. And, I mean, it still kind of exists online. There's those players who get all the kills. Yeah, you're still anonymous. It's different when you're the celebrity, when you're that guy who the guys in the, you know, who own the arcade, they know you and they like it when you come because you draw a crowd and they have tournaments.
If you own a map, I mean, you're not, like, blushing on your couch. I mean, like, there's a certain bit of, I don't know, exposure done in person that's not done in the internet.
Yeah.
That's why people are so mean on the internet.
Yeah.
Because if you were staring me in the face, you would be writing that about my podcast. So, but, yeah, so we talked about Robotron 2084, which was wild, but a lot like Geometry Wars. We talked about Missile Command. I know there's not really a lot of games like Missile Command.
No.
It kind of is stood by itself. Centipede, I guess it's been forever, but I did not do very well.
I didn't do very well.
And I think it's because, you know, like I watched Pixels, right? Did you watch it?
I did not.
You did not watch Pixels.
I could not get anyone to go to that garbage.
Oh, I got it from the library. I mean, it's not like I went to the theater.
I'm sure it'll be on Netflix or something.
Eventually. And that's when I'll find it. But Pixels, I mean, you know, I'm not gonna lie. It wasn't that bad. The thing that I thought was going to be the highlight of the film ended up being the worst part of the film, which was Peter Dinklage's performance. I was actually really, really, really disappointed because I'm a huge, you know, like I love The Station Agent and I love several films that people don't even know about, right? And when I got Pixels, I was like, all right, cool, I get to see Peter Dinklage. He'll be why I like this movie. But it wasn't. It wasn't why I liked it. It was actually the gentleman that does the voice of Olaf. What's his name, the comedian?
Oh, yeah, I know you're talking about.
Okay, well, he was actually the highlight of the film. And it was not a bad movie, but I remember Centipede in that movie particularly. It's one of the more dramatic scenes besides Donkey Kong. And I remember in the movie, like, if you shoot their head, like, that gets rid of them.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't work. Okay, we were just that.
It kept coming. It kept coming. You had to destroy the entire centipede.
Right. That's the way it's always been, right?
I believe so.
Why'd the movie get that wrong?
Apparently they didn't play their centipede.
Apparently not. But yeah, make sure you got to see the movie. Yeah. You do. The listeners, I want to recommend it. But for you, Owen.
Yeah, I should probably see it.
Should see it. I mean, you do the Moonies podcast. I mean, guys, you should watch movies, every movie. What else we got? We got the Tower of Draga, which I played once. I didn't really get it.
Yeah, I mean, and one thing to point out about the exhibit is it's not necessarily like all arcades or all games from a particular time period. It's more like influential games mm-hmm. or game-changing games. And it was cool because you would have the game set up, but then they would have like a placard like at a museum or something next to it that would talk about like who created the game, when it was created, and, you know, small things about maybe the cultural impact and how it debuted and things like that. But it was really cool because, I mean, as far as a... Kosai is a place that's kind of all about interacting with the exhibit,
mm-hmm.
more so than like a zoo or a normal museum just go and stare at something. There's a lot more invitation for you to interact with the exhibit itself.
It's a hands-on, museum.
But this particular exhibit, though, is probably the most, you know, obviously because it is gaming, it's the most hands-on experience that I've ever had. But yeah, it's because I took a chance to like read a couple of the placards and stuff, and then before playing the game, and it just kind of sort of gives you a little bit of a frame of reference, I guess. Especially just looking at the year it came out and kind of putting yourself in the head of a gamer of that age and responding to it. But it's it was really sweet.
It was. Well, let's go talk about the showcase. I guess you could call it our game of the stage. Because stage one, it's all arcade heroes, like I said. So there was a total, you know, I think there was around 14 different cabinets. But one game really stood out in a game that I never heard of.
Yeah.
A game that didn't look interesting, really, from afar.
Yeah.
A game that when you look at the box art, it does not translate.
It does not translate into whatsoever what the gameplay actually is, or what you even experience in the gameplay itself.
Right, exactly. That game is from 1981 by Atari, designed and programmed by Dave Thurer, and that is the game Tempest.
Yeah.
So, talk about your experience, because you actually played it first.
Yeah. So, what drew me to Tempest was the controls. You know, all of these are early gen sort of cabinet games, so they haven't really, none of them really had a standard sort of joystick set up. So this had like this kind of dial that you would turn, and then your buttons that were used to fire. And pretty much, there would be like a grid that would pop up on the screen, and that grid would be in the shape of like either a circle or a cross, or some weird sort of octagonal shape. And on this grid, you know, there would be lines going from the corners leading into the center, and from the center up this grid would come targets, and there would be different shapes. And you had a icon or a cursor at the top of the grid that would be shooting down these targets as they were coming at you. And the goal was either to kill specific targets within the grid or to avoid getting killed by certain targets. But you would rotate this dial, and as you rotated the dial, your cursor that would fire your projectile would move around the grid. And you would just try to intercept things as they came at you, and it was hypnotizing. I don't know how, any way other to describe it other than you play it like once or twice to get the hang of it, and then you just keep going. Like, I definitely see that game being a game that would draw a crowd, you know, and have a bunch of people over your shoulder looking at you playing the game. But also a game where people would sit their quarters and stack.
You don't blink, too.
You don't blink.
Non-blinking games.
And I definitely see it being a game that just ate money. Like, I can't imagine that, like, there were too many pros who were like, yeah, I'm going to do this in 50 cents.
It's actually funny. Tempest, even though I didn't know anything about it, has actually been pretty prominent in pop culture. Outside of us talking about it, it was featured on American Dad. The little alien guy bought a cabinet on eBay and was playing it. Featured in the show Numbers on multiple episodes because he used it to think. Which I thought was interesting. It's featured in a few books, actually. And I think one of the biggest ones, even though I am not familiar with the movie... starring Catherine Mary Stewart, Night of the Comet, 1984. The movie starts out with a child playing this game. And it's also featured in the Rush music video Subdivisions.
Oh, wow. So. I mean, visually, it's a sweet-looking game.
Oh, it's great. Especially if you're going fast.
Yeah, and you know, we were talking about Geometry Wars earlier. It's like a lot of the shapes that you experience in Geometry Wars... They appear in Tempest.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's like Robotron, I think, was the other one. It's like, if you took that Robotron game and Tempest and put them together, Geometry Wars.
Yep, that's Geometry Wars. It's been re-released several times, but I don't think it would translate without that controller.
Yeah, I can't imagine playing that game without the dial.
Right, it's been on Xbox Live Arcade. It's, you know, available on the Xbox 360 in the game room. It's been on Windows forever. And actually, Google Chrome has an app that is that game. But I just don't think...
Yeah, I don't see how you could translate the dial. Because that's half of it, is those things come at you ridiculously fast, and that dial...
Those things, which are apparently demons.
Demons, I guess. But they come in shapes of, like, asterisks and, like...
Right.
You know, circles and squares and, you know, weird sort of... angles that come at you, you know? But it's like, this dial, you know, I mean, that thing is, that sucker's oiled up. Like, you can spin that thing and it moves around the grid with some pretty ridiculous speed. And I can't imagine, like if I was playing this on a computer, I would have to imagine that your mouse is the dial. So you would have to drag the mouse around the grid. And it's like, you can't drag your mouse as fast as you can spin that dial. No way.
It was actually one of the first games to use the quadra-scan vector, which is that, you know, just the shapes that we saw with the light. I mean, I don't know. It's weird. I never heard of it. And that just, that's...
Yeah, the only thing that I think, which I'm sure the rebooted versions of these games on other consoles and things have done, I was like, the only thing that would make that game more mesmerizing is if it had some sort of, you know, trancey soundtrack that went to it.
Right, that is one thing that I don't remember from us playing it yesterday was the sound.
The music, yeah.
I mean, it just uses two Poke Chips, so I mean, it's, you know, it's very bit music. But you're right, I mean, it would be very...
There's another game that we played later on that had some really good music to it.
Right, which would be episode... That'll be the third episode.
And if it had music like that, we'd probably still be playing that game right now.
But Tempest was definitely our choice to showcase just because it was very, very, very good. I did find it on eBay. It was a coffee table style version of Tempest, which they did release. I just don't have $5,000 sitting around in order to purchase it.
You want to borrow some?
Well, if we go halvesies, if I dip into the savings, we could just play Tempest.
And we'll just share it.
Forever.
I like the sound of that.
So while at Kosei, if you don't know, Kosei is located in Columbus, Ohio. We did, you know, we live a little over an hour away. It was an okay trip, even though you wanted to play music that I don't necessarily want to hear. Do you want to talk about that?
Listen, I like the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Okay, they're good.
Right.
They came out with a new album. I've been listening to them since back in the day. So I've evolved with their
sound.
Well,
I've listened to them in high school.
Yeah, you did, but you apparently at some point you stopped listening to them, so you associate that sound of their first like two or three albums, and it's like, well, they've evolved since then. They've had, you know, umpteen albums since their first two, so
yeah,
the band has evolved and changed with time and music, and he's not as hip to their new sound.
I just don't know what to call it, and I'm sorry, but I just don't necessarily understand where they're going with this. I don't know.
I mean, it's their own sound. That's kind of like funky.
Funky.
Yeah, I mean it's the closest thing we have to funk music that's left, because I don't think there are any bands who are funk like that. You know, we're not making funk music anymore, but there's definitely still very much a funk inspiration there. So, you know.
Well, anyway, we drove over an hour of listening to funk music.
No, it was like three songs, and I changed it because he complained.
And once we arrived, I'm actually using the photo I took for the image for this episode. So.
The big Kosei sign?
Yeah, the big Kosei sign. It's the Center of Science and Industry, just so you know. Yeah.
If you live anywhere close... You know, if you live within an hour or two of it in Ohio, you've probably been there for some sort of field trip.
And you haven't been there since you were...
Since I was like 12.
Yeah.
Yeah, last time I was there was like for like a fifth or sixth grade. Maybe fourth grade. I don't know. It was young. Super young. Because I want to say we spent the night there.
Okay, you did the overnight. That's cool. Yeah, they have those still. They still do that. Just to give you some background, I did not go there for any field trips or anything. But my wife and I used to be members there, back when she, you know, this was, 12 years ago. And we've always had a huge love for Kosei. Now that we have two children, it's even better, you know? Because like when I took you into the ocean exhibit and I showed you the bubbles and I put my hand in and the smoke came out, you didn't light up like my daughter does. So if anything... it gives me a way to like be to, you know, to surprise them with science.
All right.
You didn't come off as surprised.
No.
But you did enjoy shooting the water gun.
Yeah.
Which is good. And making the balls float with water.
That's true.
You did enjoy that, which is good. We didn't do the hair stand up though.
No.
Because you have a shaved head.
I do. I do.
And that doesn't really work.
I've got a beard, but it's not nearly gnarly enough for electricity to move.
That's not going anywhere. So we had a great time in the first stage of the exhibit. By far, Tempest was...
Yeah, it's the one I connected to, oddly enough, the
most. And the shapes are crazy.
But, you know, because it's like none of those games that came out, like none of those games were like... super popular games that I played when I was a kid. You know, I'm a 90s kid, so I gamed on Ninja Turtles and X-Men and sort of the later versions that these games inspired. So I didn't actually think going in that I would really have a connection to these games. I kind of thought, oh, this, you know, this exhibit, this part of the exhibit, I just will kind of run by real quick, but that was actually the one of the ones that I was fascinated with the most.
Was the arcade?
Was the arcade, yeah.
So let's talk about the most popular of all the cabinets there, which is Donkey Kong. Now, I played for a little bit just because there was a bunch of people waiting. I didn't get engrossed in it. But, I mean, it's, you know, it was revolutionary. It introduced us to Jumpman. Definitely a great jumping off point for Nintendo. All
right.
But, I mean, you know, it's pretty simplistic programming. I mean, you're literally just going up and down, you know, and jumping when you have a hammer and whatnot. Did you get to play?
I did not.
Okay.
Similar to old days of arcading, like, there was a line, and I was not waiting in that line. I'll go play one of the games that has a shorter line. And it's Donkey Kong. You know, it's kind of like, that's the one that's the one that you immediately recognize and that you've played the most. And everybody wants to play that one because if you're older, you know, the parents want to play it because it's like they get to sort of relive their childhood and look cool in front of their kids because their kids can't play that. You know, like that's another thing that's really cool is as far as parents taking their younger kids, you know, I know with my mom when I was a little kid, like playing video games, I would kick the crap out of her in pretty much everything we ever played, and I'm sure that she just humored me playing them, but she doesn't like playing games or anything like that. And I could imagine the kids of today playing their Halo and Destiny and, you know, all the games that they have now that their parents aren't really playing along and you know, can't hang. But then you bring these kids into these retro games, and now it's like, okay, you know, son, you be player one, and mom's player two, and mom is just smoking you because now you're in her realm.
Right.
And so that's really cool as well. But yeah, Donkey Kong, awesome, but, you know.
That's actually one thing I'm kind of worried about.
What?
Because, you know, obviously I do a video game podcast, right? And, you know, when I play my wife's little brother, or I play her, like, niece, or, you know, our niece, I still own these kids.
Hey, but how old are they?
Well, her brother's just turned 13.
So he's not quite...
Exactly. There. So at what point will my children, like, at what age will they become better than me? Because right now, I could take a kid in modern games.
I would say that...
like, do I have to get out for them to surpass? Because I feel like you kind of do.
I mean, I think what it will be is, like, the ripe age will probably be, like, 13, 14.
Right.
That'll probably be the
age. And it's got to be new tech.
It'll be a new game that both of you are playing. And the advantage that they will have is that at 13 or 14 years old, there will be 6 months out of the year where they don't have anything to do except for play this game. You know, or 4 months out of the year, have a long summer vacation.
Right, where we have a job.
Where you will have a job, well, you have to go to work.
I just got laid off, but
when I have a job. Thinking in the future, right. Positively.
Can't keep being unemployed.
Yeah. You'll have to go to work, and your wife will have to go to work, and you'll have things to do, and you just won't be able to play all the time.
So they'll be able to perfect.
Yeah, they'll be able to get up in the morning and play this game, and play it with a purpose of, I'm going to kick the crap out of my dad. You know, and then... when you get home from work and you'll be tired and you're like, man, I just want to eat my big piece of chicken and go to sleep, like, there will be your kids like, Dad, I've been playing this all day. Come and sit down and I'm going to play you right now. And they're going to rub it in your face.
Oh.
They're going to rub it in your face.
So they're going to find me at a time of weakness.
Yes, exactly. And that's how they'll, like all children should surpass their parents. They're going to wait until you are weak and tired.
Right.
And don't have a chance, and then they will hit you with everything they've got.
Gotcha. Because I'm worried about that. Because right now, you know, obviously my kids are too little. I don't have to worry about
it's
that
not,
yet.
Yeah, but eventually it'll come, you know. And it's like I said, 13, 14, maybe 12 if they're, like, advanced gamers. But, you know, once they're in high school, once they're 15 and 16 in high school, then they may, you know, depending upon whether or not they fall into a clique where gaming is cool.
Right, well, I think
cool.
That age, they actually don't want to have anything to do with me. Yeah. So I really have a short window.
Yeah, exactly. I was saying, you have like 2 years where it can be cool. Unless, you know, your kids get into high school and... Because who knows what'll be cool. You know, there's a lot of things that weren't cool when I was in high school that are cool now. So your kids may get into high school and gaming is just, like, super cool. And, you know, your kids become part of a gaming-type clique. And then, in which case, you get rolled on all the time. Or you'll be, you know, you'll find yourself online playing with your kids' friends.
Destroying them.
Or getting owned and them going, man, your dad sucks.
You know? Yeah, I don't want to be that dad. I don't want to be the dad that's just there to get somebody's kill cam up.
But you're going
to
be the first, you're kind of the first part of that first generation of dads who will get to be like that, you know? Like, our parents didn't get to online game with us, you know?
Not at all.
But our kids will be able to, you know, we'll be able to online game with our kids and potentially own our kids or get owned by our kids.
So that's kind of why I've been shopping around for a cabinet. I do think that Tempest...
To have something you can beat your kid at in the future?
Yeah. Because then I can spend all this time right now practicing. So as far as the way the shows are going to go, so we're doing, like the exhibit, we're going to have three stages. This was stage one, which was Arcade Heroes. The next stage will be Game Changers, which are... I mean, there were so many games in that section. We won't be able to hit all of them. I mean, I want to pay homage to those that, you know, made an impact on me personally. And then our third episode, which is stage three, would be the indie titles. And that's where we have a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
Not only that, I have a special announcement at the end of that episode, which I would like for all of you to hear. So if you like this episode, make sure to share it. I know you have your own podcast, right?
Yeah, you can find us on Twitter at Comics Arena, comics with an X.
And what do you do there? What do you guys talk about?
So on Comics Arena, we pretty much take movies and we put them head to head in different categories. I guess recently that was the Moonies. Now it's I get them confused. Now it's comics. So we do that with comic book characters, Marvel and DC. We put them head to head. In different categories.
I know. I was looking at your guys' schedule, and I know you have Green Lantern coming up for Comics Arena. Is it a good one?
It's a great one.
Okay.
I like the Green Lantern. I get a lot of crap because I'm a DC fanboy and enthusiast. And it's not like I don't like Marvel. I do love Marvel. I love them a lot. But I believe these two companies sort of built their characters differently. And when you put them head-to-head, sometimes the DC characters, just by the nature of the way those characters are built and their purpose in their world, they can sometimes come out ahead a lot.
So Comics Arena on Twitter at Comics Arena with an X.
With an X.
Me personally, I'm on Twitter at West Aries. And then Dante and me, both
and
with
I.
the ship.
Dante and I.
When I say Dante and me.
Come on now.
Woo! It's not a English podcast. You can follow us at The Liquid Gamer. We are on Patreon as well. So, you know, we do have episodes that are like... Listeners choose the topic for Liquid Gamer, and they do that through Patreon, so make sure to check that out as well. Just because Stage 2 is so big, I want to talk about some of the games that aren't going to make it into the next episode.
Okay.
There were... how many sections? We had blue, red, purple, yellow, orange. So
I didn't even really notice that the color-coordinated sections of the second area, but yeah.
Yeah, I want to talk about Blue, which was in the Game Changers exhibit, just because we have time and I don't want to rush episode two. But were you able to play, because you didn't play a lot of the PC games, I know.
Yeah, they had a bunch of PC games, like some of the Warcraft games, World of Warcraft 2, and I want to say, like, one of the third...
They didn't have World of Warcraft. They had Warcraft 3.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Warcraft. There was Warcraft 2 and Warcraft 3 in that world.
And Starcraft 2.
Oh, I didn't see Starcraft.
And Diablo 3.
Yeah, and I played a little bit of Diablo.
Oh, you did play. Okay, cool. That's what actually I played in that portion of the exhibit. Diablo is a great game. Warcraft 3 is a great game. StarCraft 2 is a great game. But it's just, when you're playing RTS especially, I couldn't invest enough time into that.
It's game. Really have that, yeah, exactly. That because felt more like an exhibit where you read the placard about it and it's cool and you get to play around and kind of see how the game works and the mechanics of the game, but it's not one that you know, that many people were sitting around like, yeah, we're going to play this.
Right, exactly. Because, I mean, you would be there until, I mean, one campaign you could be there for 2 hours.
Right.
And, you know, Kosai is open from 10 to 6, so you can't always play all these games as much as you'd like. But if anything, I mean, it might inspire you like it did me with Tempest to try to find it to buy somewhere.
And I think that exhibit was the first part that, because, you know, they all have these little placards, but I think once you get into the Game Changers exhibit, they have placards, but they also have these little monitors where it's interviews with the actual game designers, and they sort of talk about their inspirations from the games. And then something else that was really cool about the Game Changers area moving forward was that they had concept art everywhere, too.
Oh, yeah.
And that was really rad, especially for games like Warcraft or any of those games. It's like, wow, like...
Yeah, I listened to the interviews for Warcraft, just the character design portion. They were talking about how, you know, they were just a bunch of guys just, like, kind of goofing off and just drawing silly versions of what they see as goblins or whatnot. And it just kind of evolved. And, I mean, we know how big Warcraft is. You saw the movie,
right? Yeah, I did see the movie, yeah.
I did not.
It was good.
I know, I'm surprised you liked it so much.
It was unexpectedly entertaining.
And then they also had TT Games, which was located by the Red Pulse, and that is LEGO Star Wars 3, or LEGO Star Wars 2, LEGO Batman 3, and LEGO Harry Potter.
Yeah.
So, most of these games...
They had the Clone Wars, LEGO Clone Wars, or whatever.
Yeah, they had the Clone Wars and the original trilogy. Yeah. So, I mean, I've owned all these.
Yeah, exactly. I've owned them. And, you know, you saw kids playing it with
I saw you playing Star Wars quite a bit.
Yeah, because it was in the middle of Hoth. And I can't pass up the opportunity.
You see Hoth.
And yeah, like, oh. I can't pass up the opportunity to trip up some walkers.
So, I mean, I do think that those are, in fact, huge game changers.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, definitely. Just... I don't know. Like, when I was little, I played with Legos a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And... I felt like, I don't know if there was a time in my life or just the time in the culture, but Legos was not like a big thing for a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you just had Lego, right? But once they started licensing, I saw a huge spike in Lego stuff. Not only a spike in people wanting it, but a spike in the price. Because, I mean, some of those sets are $200.
Yeah, you want to get the Ecto-1. You know, Lego Ecto-1.
How much is that?
You're dropping like $70, I think, or $60. Yeah.
Because, I mean, I have the Lex Luthor. He's somewhere over there. And I wanted to get, like, the Batcave, but I can't spend $150 on Legos. Right?
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 I think so. You know, and what's hilarious, too, is now that I'm older, it's like, it's not about playing with the Legos either. It's like, I want to set it up and then just sit it somewhere and just look at it.
No, I did that when I was little. I actually used to hairspray them.
See, when I was little, I would really...
Yeah, my mom had really cheap, strong hairspray. And I used to make something, and I used to spray it.
So that it would stick.
Yeah.
See, I would...
It would stink, though.
I was one of those people who I would never build the thing that they told me to build. I would build something else. You know, or I would always use the Legos and just build whatever I wanted, and then use that as a prop for my action figures and things like that.
Ooh, I couldn't have action figures in the Lego world.
Yeah. Because the Lego world was never the Lego world. Like, the Lego people, I never used Lego people. I would only use the Legos, and the Legos would be used to build the sets or the props that my action figure characters would interact with in their action figure world.
Hmm. You're the only person I've ever heard that from.
Really?
Yeah. I always use my Lego people. It's the only thing scale to scale that would work.
Yeah, no, the Lego people, I mean, they were good sometimes to, you know, be like pedestrians or something like that.
So they were extras.
Yeah, they were extras.
But Lego, I mean, what's your favorite Lego game?
Probably the original trilogy. And not, I mean, probably that's the one I played the most, but all the ones that are based off of actual movies, like the original trilogy, the Indiana Jones ones, because they have the music that is timed with a particular scene.
So you like the ones before they incorporated voice acting?
Yes.
Okay.
I like the voice acting, and like I'm really pumped up to get the Lego, like the Star Wars Force Awakens one,
mm-hmm.
because that'll have voice acting. But what I like about the prior games was that there was such an attention to detail with recreating the movie, and especially, you know, growing up in the 90s, it's like that was something that would happen, you know, just like movies coming out with soundtracks. Sometimes movies would have video games.
Yeah, they don't really do that anymore.
They don't really do that anymore. It kind of went off into like the early 2000s and kind of stopped. But I always liked like the game, the movies that I really love the most. It's like, man, I wish there was a game that I could play through the movie and actually play through the scenes of the movie, not a game based off of the movie. Like if you got, you know, Superman Returns, the game, you're not really playing through the game. It's based off of the game. There's things from the art there. It's based off the movie. There are things from the movie, but you don't really play through the movie. Lego Star Wars, you play through like those movies. The first game, you start on the Tanner 4 and you're playing as Leia, you know, and the droids. And yeah, there's all these puzzles, but it's like you get to play through the movie. The entire saga. And Indiana Jones is flawless in that same sense. So I'm hoping Force Awakens will be like that. But apparently Force Awakens is also incorporating plot lines and story material that did not make it into the movie as well.
Right, which is really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the... because it releases pretty soon, actually. There's a lot of promo material out. And it's pretty good-looking Kylo Ren as a Lego.
Yeah.
He works out well. Not everybody does. Not everybody translates. All but right. He did good. That's good. So I'm looking forward to that. I was a little worried with the Disney acquisition that there wasn't going to be a lot of things like that. Because when they started with Infinity, even though now it's gone, Infinity's over.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they sent out an email to all people registered as players.
That they're no longer doing it. So what's going to happen in the future? Is it just going to be? Is it still going to be there, but they're not going to maintain it anymore? They're not going to.
There's not going to be like a four
new,
or you
a
know
new
like
content
a,
or anything right. like that.
But I mean, it is a create your own content game. So like my worlds are available for other people to play, things like that. So I mean, it still can survive, just like Little Big Planet would still survive or Mod Nation Racers, because it's all user generated. Like even if Nintendo backed out of Super Mario Maker. There's still going to be levels made from now until the end of that console. You know what I mean? And I can see people still doing that with Infinity. I have, I don't know, 14, I think, figures. And I really enjoyed the concept of that kind of game. But since they've ended it, I feel like that was a natural transition into them going back to Lego stuff. Because I was worried about that. Because if I have a Kylo Ren Infinity... it's like, they're not going to open this back up to Lego.
Right.
You know, but they are. But they also quit Infinity right around the same time as they announced Force Awakens for Lego. So I don't know if that has anything to do with it. Because Lego Dimensions kind of feels like competition for Infinity, right?
Right,
I mean,
yeah.
It's just a natural competition.
That's true. Lego Dimensions, and that can pull Warner Brothers characters.
Yeah. So... is there going to be Star Wars Lego Dimensions now that
they're
out of the...
That's true, because Lego Dimensions is only the Warner Brothers stuff, right? And, like, it's like there's no... Like, Warner, like Lego Dimensions does not have any
Paramount.
Of the Marvel characters.
There's Paramount, there's Warner Brothers, BBC.
Are there Marvel characters, though?
No.
Like, there are no Marvel characters, there are no Disney characters. Like, right. There are none of the...
But because they were direct competition with Infinity.
Uh-huh.
So now that Infinity's done, are we going to see that? Will I be able to play a game
with
Cyborg and Spider-Man?
Yeah, exactly. Batman and Iron Man on the same team.
Right. I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Because they got licenses for both.
They do. But they haven't put out anything Lego Star Wars Dimensions because Disney was like, hey, we got our own Toys to Life game. Don't you make anything. So... I invite all of you to go to Columbus, if you can, to go to the Game Masters exhibit. You'll find out a lot more about more games, obviously, in the second and third episodes, stage 2 and 3. But I still have to say that Tempest definitely stole my heart.
Yeah, it did.
And if I had $5,000, I would definitely go get it. But I don't have that lying around. If you didn't hear earlier, I was just laid off. So, is there anything you want to add before we move on?
No.
Cool. Well, make sure to find Kosai on Facebook. You can find the Liquid Gamer podcast on Facebook as well. While you're on Twitter, there's at COSI for Kosai and at the Liquid Gamer for us. So.
And at Comics Arena.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Come on.
Jeez.
At Comics Arena with an X, though.
At Comics.
Comics.
Arena. Yes, Comics Arena. I know that you have some really good episodes coming up. Next week, we will see the next part in our series of Kosai and Game Masters. So this was Arcade Heroes, and then we got a new episode next week, and then the following week is the final episode where I will have a special announcement. So make sure to keep tuning in. It's going to be on the whatever channel you're listening to now. We'll have the next episode a week from today. So can't wait for you to continue listening. And if you have any questions, just reach out to me on Twitter or Facebook at The Liquid Gamer. And of course, Liquid Gamer Podcast on Facebook. But until then, thank you for listening. My name is Ryan.
And I was Owen.
Good game.
Stage one complete.
Warning! Extreme danger! Danger!
all-new Ellen, Michael Strahan. Plus, a little cruise ship dancer taking over social media.
People were coming up to me and asking me for autographs. It was kind of awkward.
But... Right, well, it's going to be more awkward now.
Ellen, today at 3 on NBC4. Imagine moving into a new home
and hearing scratching, screeching every night.
Inside the walls, hundreds of bats.
They just took over the house.
I had no idea.
Warning sign, something could be lurking in your home. Today at 5 on NBC4.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Oh, what a great audience. Let's dim the lights for this next one. Nope, too much. Ah, there it is. Got to get things just right. Like Progressive's Name Your Price tool. Tell us what you want to pay, and we help you find coverage options that fit your budget. And now, the mood is right. Wait, the lights are back on again. Trudy, can you? And now it's completely dark.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Here it comes again. Lunch. Will it be the same old, same old? Or are you ready to take a vacation from the ordinary with the new Jamaican Jerk Turkey Sub at Firehouse Subs? Freshly sliced smoked turkey breast, craveably sweet mustard sauce, and a hint of Caribbean seasoning. Just $5.55 for a medium. Save time. Order the new Jamaican Jerk Turkey Sub on the Firehouse Subs app. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Participating locations, limited time only, plus tax. Prices may vary for delivery.
Can I get a drum roll, please? It's time for the best deal of the year on Xfinity. And ask about even more savings when you add Xfinity Mobile. That's simple, easy, awesome. Click, call, or visit a store today. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas.
Old Navy's kicking off the holidays in style with 40% off everything. That's right, everything on your list is on sale now. Get 40% off every pair of jeans, 40% off all sweatshirts and all hoodies, even 40% off all outerwear. Get 40% off all the holiday gifts they want at a price you want. 40% off everything at Old Navy and OldNavy.com now. Hurry in or miss out. Valid 11/14 to 11/19 excludes gift cards, today only and 2-day only deals, gift of the week, clearance, register lane items, Zip Zap stuff, and jewelry. Old Navy's kicking off the holidays in style with 40% off everything. That's right, everything on your list is on sale now. Get 40% off every pair of jeans, 40% off all sweatshirts and all hoodies, even 40% off all outerwear. Get 40% off all the holiday gifts they want at a price you want. 40% off everything at Old Navy and OldNavy.com now. Hurry in or miss out. Valid 11/14 to 11/19 excludes gift cards, today only and 2-day only deals, gift of the week, clearance, register lane items, Zip Zap stuff, and jewelry.